I realized after the service started that I never got a reader. So you get to hear my voice some more. There were other things happening this morning. This is a reading from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius, a day's wage, for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you what is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day long?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call all the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landlord, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friends, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So do you see why I talk with the girls about fairness? Does this parable feel fair? Does this landowner feel fair? Come on, yes, no? Not really, not exactly, not in the way we like to think about it, right? I think all of us have some pretty deep-seated feelings about what's fair and what's not fair. How many of you grew up with siblings? Yeah, that'll start it right there, right? We live in a school culture that's based on competitiveness and comparison. Grades, what else are grades if they're not competitiveness and comparison? Our culture runs on this. Our work environment runs on this. At Bible Study Tuesday night, we heard a couple stories about experiences of people as a woman standing up for equal pay in a work situation. In our society, we're constantly being told we need to do better than someone else. We're motivated to achieve by comparison so much of the time in our culture. And then we have this entire advertising industry that runs on making us feel less, right? So we'll want to spend more. You don't have the same nice lawn he has. You don't have the same whatever. It's constantly comparing us with somebody else. Lawn's on my mind because we're like Weed City. So today's parable can tap into some pretty deep feelings in most of us. But what was this parable about? What is Jesus trying to say here when he says this story is somehow like the kingdom of heaven? That phrase is Matthew's favorite phrase for talking about what Jesus came teaching and preaching and proclaiming was coming and was near at hand. Luke's more likely to say the kingdom of God. You know, we can say reign of God. If you don't like the male language, let's say kingdom of God. You can say realm of God. I like realm a lot. One very common traditional interpretation of this parable through much of church history has been that this parable is somehow about Gentiles, non-Jews, who had been the last to become people, God's people, ending up being first. And the Jews who had been the first chosen ending up somehow being last. Now, there's a lot of problems with that interpretation. Jesus, a Jew, was speaking to all Jews in this context. There were no Gentiles in the mix at that point. And as one commentator writes, anytime we find ourselves interpreting a parable that makes us Christians feel self-righteous and better than other people, we're in dangerous territory and probably missing the point. Especially when those other people are Jews. Jesus told parables to challenge us, to provoke us, to make us think about things differently, not to pat ourselves on the back and say, aren't we great? So, not about that. And then I've read a couple of contemporary commentators this week who see this as a story Jesus told as a social critique. They raise the question, which is an interesting one, why is it whenever we hear a parable of Jesus where there's a powerful person and the owner, landowner, householder, why do we always assume that's God? That's an interesting question. But then they go on to read this parable as a social commentary of a terribly unjust economic system where there were these day laborers who could barely make enough to live day to day. And they see the landlord as the capitalist, not God, but the capitalist who has the power to hire, to not hire, to pay whatever he wants. And he wants to be seen somehow as generous for just giving them a day's wage. It's an interesting way to read it a little differently, isn't it? And he sends them all home with that day's wage, and the next morning they're back where they were the day before, desperate, needing to be hired by somebody so they can live. I think all these criticisms of the social injustice then and the social injustices we know now, of course, are very true. And this parable does bring up questions about injustice and unfairness, as when we talked in Bible study Tuesday night. You know, what about, it's easy for us to say God's generous, but what about people who don't have enough to eat today? What about people who just got hit by an earthquake or a flood? Where is God's fairness, justice, generosity? This parable certainly shouldn't be used to justify inequity. But somehow, I still can't find myself going with these commentators, because I just don't think that was Jesus' point, because he says that this is about the kingdom of heaven. Well, surely heaven doesn't have this kind of injustice. Surely heaven, God's realm, is a place where everyone gets what they need, and more than what they need. Surely, in God's world, when God has heaven the way God wants it to be, there is no inequity, no injustice. That actually seems to be the point here. Everyone gets what they need. Everyone is the same. As Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the good and the bad. Jesus urges us to be more like that, more like God, whose mercy is given to all. As we talked about this more in Bible study, we found ourselves focusing more on what it is in us that's always comparing and competing and can't feel just it's good enough to just be who we are and what we are. Why are we always looking at somebody else? And what keeps us from being able to be open to receive God's mercy? Jesus is inviting us, I think, into another way of being. And again, always to say, heaven's not just something that happens after we die. The kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, is here and now, available. That's what Jesus is trying to help us see and help us live into. So it's not a place where our worth and our belonging is based on what we do. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to be judging whether we've worked hard enough to get it. You don't need good grades to get into the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to do all the right things. You don't have to get it all right. You certainly don't have to be perfect. God doesn't work that way. No. God's realm is about mercy. Not mercy like you did something bad, so I'm going to give you a break. No. Mercy is the overflowing abundance of God's goodness. God's realm is about love, all that you need, God's love. None of us earn it. It is gift. It is all gift. We're invited in. We're welcome with open arms. We can all belong exactly as we are. Don't have to be like anybody else. God doesn't want us to be like anybody else. God wants us to be us. God is generous and gracious, and Jesus invites us into this alternative reality, this dimension that's available. Here, we can live in grace, move in the flow of mercy, breathe in the fullness of blessing, know that we belong and that we are beloved. And out of that, we can live more that way with each other. I remembered last night reading years ago, I didn't go checking to see if it's still true, but reading years ago that Bread for the World, which is an organization that is lobbying for faith-based folks in Washington to try to help make sure hungry people are fed, that Bread for the World paid their staff based on need, not position. So, at that time at least, the highest paid person on staff was a custodian because he had a large family. And the director or chairman or whatever his title was one of the lowest paid because it was just him. He was single. He didn't need a lot. How does that blow our minds? Think about that one a minute. Or even in just a little bit of this, last year when we did our first all-generational all-church retreat, and we're doing it again this fall in November, we decided we weren't going to say if you don't have enough and you need financial aid, you can ask. We said, no, we're just going to say it's all paid for, give what you're able. Here's what it costs per person, give what you're able. You don't have to ask. How's that shift the paradigm, right? We all belong. We want everybody there. Give as much as you can. If you can give more to help others, great. If you don't have enough, great. If you don't have any, if you can't afford a penny, still come. That's a taste of the kingdom of heaven. That is what we're being invited to try to live into more. There is enough. There really is enough. But we have to open, receive, and let go. Share. God, grant us your mercy. Let us live in that flow. Let us be generous as you are generous. Let us be trusting that there is enough and more.